there about me being much older and being your youth pastor and all that kind of stuff. Roger Skelton, our BB captain, is here this evening. Some former BB boys remember that BB camp trip maybe in like 2003 kind of time, maybe a bit later than that. And we were having a conversation on the bus. You remember this? You said, like, how do you get to be doing what you're doing? How do you get to be in your position? And I said, Phil, if you fancy Lindsay, just ask her out. And so there we go. It was great. I'm really glad. I'm really glad that you took the plunge and you did that. Let me congratulate you and officially welcome you on the staff team of Green Island Baptist Church. It's a significant moment for us. It's a significant moment for you, for Lindsay, for Oliver, for Theo, for your mum and dad and wider family. And it's so good that we get to share this moment together. It's really good that we get to mark it and to say thank you to God, to really say, you know, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to read from Matthew 28, and I'm going to speak for a very short period of time. Please don't heckle. There's already been some heckling this evening. Please don't heckle. There is supper, okay? And that we will get there. That's coming. I'm going to read from Matthew 28. This is the word of the Lord. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." We thank God for his truth and how he speaks to us even today. You know, when it comes to measuring ministry success or success in the church, many people talk about the ABCs. A, attendance, how many people showed up at your thing, how many people were there on Sunday, how many young people are in your youth group, how many people have signed up for the trip, how many people were at the course, did you get a decent number on the Alpha course? There's a preoccupation with numbers. Attendance can be a measurement, and it's not always a bad measurement, because Jesus did tell a story in which he counted sheep and realized one was missing. We do need a count. Attendance is important. It is without doubt a measurement of pastoral ministry, but perhaps it's too prominent. A, attendance. Then B, buildings. It's a great building. And ever since I've come to Green Island Baptist in June and friends or family have visited, I said, "Oh, that's a great building you have there in Green Island Baptist." And it is. And we should be really grateful for it. And no doubt, everyone who was involved, you can pat yourself on the back, because it's a modern building. It's an effective building. It's a building that enables ministry to happen. It's a bright building for worship. And so, yes, it's something that we can be grateful for, and it's something we can be glad to have. It's attractive, but is it a proper measurement of successful ministry? A, attendance. B, building. C, cash. What kind of resources do we have at our disposal? Can we pay the bills? Is the bank balance healthy? What's the giving like? And we need to pay attention to these things, because ministry needs money. It needs finance. We do need to think about attendance, buildings, and cash. But if we had our numbers up and the building was bright and the bank balance was healthy, would that be a job well done for a discipleship pastor? On the surface of it, and to the onlooker, people might admire Green Island Baptist Church. Loads of people. There are little cars in a car park. I see a lot of people coming out of there. There's always stuff going on. Lights are on all the time. Must have plenty of money. That building's amazing. To the onlooker, It might be enough if we looked after our A, B, C's. But it's not what Jesus commanded us to do. It's not A, B, C, it's D. Make disciples of all nations. So Phil, you are now a discipleship pastor. How do you feel? You look a wee bit more holy, actually. Every Christian is a missionary. We're called to make disciples, every single one of us. Disciples make disciples. Followers of Jesus make followers of Jesus. But the church has called you here, this church has called you in the pastoral ministry with the specific responsibility to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And there are two simple things I'd love for you to carry with you for however long you're in this role. As we think about pastoral ministry is first of all about followership. Followership. You are a follower first. Notice where the disciples were when they hear the command of Jesus. Think about where they were. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. They were in a place, and the only reason they were there is because Jesus said, I should be here, so I'm here. And I don't want to preempt anything, but there'll be times you'll be parking your car in the car park, and you'll be thinking, the only reason I'm here is because Jesus said I should be here. And haven't been in ministry for 20 plus years, that's a reality. There are times you say, how on earth did I end up here? And the only reason that you will be here is because Jesus called you to this role. They were already following Jesus to the mountain when he called them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore. The command to go is in the Bible over 1,000 times, and you will grow to love that word, go. You will find comfort in it. You will find encouragement in it. You will find security in it. Because ultimately, while the idea of this comes internally as a call and a sense to, yeah, I would really like to serve on the staff team at Green Island Baptist Church. I'd like to be a pastor. There's an internal working of the Holy Spirit to do that. You might sometimes think, did I just engineer this? Did other people think it was a good idea? No, God has commanded you through his Son, Jesus Christ, to go. You have not chosen this path. He has chosen it for you. And your obedience to this command is going to be one of the most liberating experiences of your life. There's countless times I've been in situations where I thought, what right have I got to be here? How on earth am I in this situation? Sitting in the living room with someone organizing a funeral. At a hospital bedside. Talking to someone whose life is ebbing away. Talking to a couple whose marriage is in deep distress and trouble. I think, what right have I got to meddle in these affairs? Going into a school assembly, thinking, what right? What right have I got to be in this school? Standing at a graveside. Sitting in a little hall in Ballyduff Community Centre telling someone that it's not okay the way they're living. Talking to them about the intimate sleeping arrangements of their lives. Thinking, what right have I got to tell anybody where they sleep? And then I remember Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Not just a heavenly authority, but an authority right across the earth. Right into the middle of BT38, right into the middle of Green Island, the authority of Jesus Christ enables you to go into environments that otherwise you have no right to be in and say, Jesus has authority in your marriage, over your finances, who you sleep with, how you relate to him or her. Jesus has authority. You are a follower first, and it's really liberating because you can blame Jesus. Teaching others to observe all that he has commanded you. This is undoubtedly a weighty responsibility, and there's loads of reasons why lots of people introduce themselves by saying, I used to be a pastor. Not for everyone. God has called you to this role and commanded you to go, and it's an awesome privilege. In his autobiography, one of my heroes, and probably yours too, Robbie Fowler, Liverpool legend, talks in his autobiography about being called up to the England squad when he's playing at Liverpool. He says in his autobiography, "I got a tap on the shoulder from the gaffer," it was Roy Evans at the time, "at the club training ground on a typically blustery March morning. 'You'd better chuck out those carrier bags and buy yourself a decent suitcase, Robbie, son,' he said. 'Terry Venables has called to say you're in the England squad.' I dropped me bacon sarnie. I had a chance. Me mind was racing as I was calculating what prospect I had of actually getting a start in the game against Bulgaria and who else might be pushing for a place in the final 22 for the European Championships in June. Phil, the call of God upon your life is infinitely greater and more significant than a phone call from Terry Venables. The privilege of being a follower of Jesus Christ and making disciples of Jesus Christ should cause your own mind to race at the prospect of what is available. What damage you could do to the kingdom of darkness by following the call of Jesus Christ upon your life. The disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. And as the discipleship pastor in Green Island Baptist Church, we want your leadership. We need your leadership. We've called you to a position of leadership. But never forget, you're a follower first. Pastoral ministry is about followership, but it's also, finally, about fellowship. You're not alone. I don't know what comes into your mind when you think about being on a team. Maybe you remember being on this team. You just can't believe how handsome that centre half is. Or is it Phil's hair? I don't know. That's a Woodlands team, football team that Phil and I played on. You see him there? That's really good. Fond memories of that team. We were unbeatable. And you know, when you think about team ministry, I don't know what picture comes into your mind when you think about team ministry. Next slide might help. I don't know. You know, nobody comes out of that picture looking well. So let's move on really quickly. We have set a high standard. Jackie actually made bacon buddies for our staff meeting. So we've got set a high bar and we're looking forward to you delivering the goods at our next staff meeting. When Jesus calls us to himself, he doesn't call us in isolation. He calls us into a team, into a community, to fellowship. Making disciples requires community because God himself is community, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He calls us to himself and he calls us into community. He sets the solitary in families, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit. God is a God of relationship. You're a follower first, but you're part of a community. And Jesus says, "Surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age." You're a follower first and Jesus is here. You're not alone. Yes, you've got a staff team. And you've got elders, you've got deacons, you've got other volunteers, you've got a whole congregation behind you who've called you to be here, but Jesus is with you. But not only that, God has graciously placed you in a family, and he's given you Lindsay and Oliver and Theo. Lindsay is your wife and Oliver and Theo as your children, and you cannot be a successful pastor if you're a failure as a dad or a failure as a husband. So those things are really important. The Bible says, if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? I want to say publicly from the front here, we have a responsibility to care for you so that that is possible, and so do you. We want to make sure that you are a success as a husband and a father and a son. And yes, we want to see you be a success as a discipleship pastor too, but we don't want this role to get in the way of that. And we will do all that we can to enable you to care for your own family and set an example in how you do that that inspires the rest of us to care for our families in a godly and biblical way. Make sure you look after yourself and your own health and well-being and your family so that you being a pastor is actually a blessing to them, not a curse, and that they'll be really grateful. I'm so glad my dad's a pastor. I'm so glad my husband is a pastor. You might not have chosen yourself for this role, but God has chosen. And there's a way to do it that will mean that it's a blessing to the people around you, especially your family. Myself, our fellow elders have a role to play in helping you, but you need to take responsibility. You're a follower first, and Jesus is here. In conclusion, you know, Jesus has promised to be with you always, even to the very end of the age. No matter what situation you find yourself in, even though you feel alone, you've been in situations where I feel really alone. I'm the only one who thinks this way. I mean, standing, you know, in a congregation singing hymns at a funeral and thinking, I'm the only one singing. Believe me, that's not a good thing if I'm the only one singing. Does anybody else actually believe this? I think Jesus is present. You're a follower first, and Jesus is here. In conclusion, as I was thinking about leadership and ministry and teamwork, I was reminded of one of my favorite theologians, and I managed to get a one-minute video clip to help us understand about ministry, leadership, team, and here we go. Here's a one-minute clip from one of my favorite ever theologians.
That's how it is. You have enough confidence, and that's very important for a leader, because confidence, if I would expect from myself that I know everything and I'm the best in everything, I couldn't have confidence. But I don't expect that. I know I'm good in a couple of things, really good in a few things, and that's enough. What I can do, my confidence is big enough that I can really let people grow next to me. It's no problem. I need experts around me. It's really, really very important that you're empathic, that you try to understand the people around you, and that you give real support to the people around you. And then everybody can act. That's what leadership is. Have strong people around you with a better knowledge in different departments than yourself. Don't act like you know everything. Be ready to admit that I have no clue in the moment, so give me a couple of minutes, then I will have a clue probably. And that's exactly how I understand it. But it's not a real philosophy. It's just my way of life.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Jürgen Klopp, pastor, teacher, theologian. You don't have to know everything. How liberating is that? You have people around you who are better than you, and see them flourish. See them fulfill the potential that God has placed within them. It's okay to admit in this moment I haven't a clue. And you will need to do that many, many times. But my excitement and enthusiasm about you being on the staff team is that, as I said earlier, we're different. I want to see you grow to become all that God intended you to be. This church will be better for it. The leaders and volunteers in this church and congregation in this church will be better for it as you fulfill the call of God upon your life. You know, if you want to lead the orchestra, you got to turn your back in the crowd. So follow Jesus. It's about followership and fellowship. You are not alone. He is with you always, and we are with you in this moment. Let me pray, and then we're going to worship together. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the command that comes to all of us who know and love you to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. We pray, Lord God, that we would know the authority that comes from you, that stretches far beyond the boundaries of our own homes and workplaces and right into every environment that we find ourselves. We pray especially for Phil tonight, that he would know that authority in his life, that he would know the presence of Jesus ahead of him as he follows, alongside of him as he ministers to others, and within him, strengthening him and equipping him for the work that you've called him to. We pray for your continued blessing on Lindsay, on Oliver, Theo. May they know your love and your care in the coming days. And all God's people said, amen. That's